This is what we're doing.
Can we just say a little prayer?
I think that might be helpful.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your presence and your peace, with the fire of your love. We ask you to burn away anything in us or around us that is not of you, Lord. We give you permission. We give you our yes. Just in the silence of your heart, we just say yes to whatever God wants to give you, to whatever God wants to do. Maybe you know what that is. Maybe it's just kind of an open readiness to receive in this conversation. Yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. We're here for you, Lord. And we're here because you called us here, because you have a grace that you want to give us. So we just position ourselves, dispose ourselves to hear your voice, God, because we know that you're always speaking and that we can hear you. And we consecrate this conversation, ourselves, our day, this technology on our end, on their end. We consecrate it all to you, Jesus, through Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't get over Mary. I love her so much. Melting.
Like Mary, our mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
I was just praying to Hail Mary. You know what I mean? Yeah. So obviously, the Blessed Mother.
I thought you saw like a statue or something behind you.
No, in my heart, saw her. Felt her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Heather says, I did a weekend Ignatian retreat this past weekend, was able to detach from my phone from Friday evening to Sunday afternoon. It was such a blessing to consume less of social media and all the ads. Heather, this is the inspiration for today's Q&A. Let me tell you why. Actually, the inspiration was from Megan Helmstead. Shout out. She, just in her own prayer and life, has been kind of contemplating this Lent, the connection between like consumerism, social media, buying, shopping, and almsgiving, that's kind of the key to like turning that vice into a virtue, is to give rather than to not even receive, to like take, to buy, to grasp, you know? Isn't that insane, Lexi? Okay. So then, now I forgot what I was going to tell you. Oh, then I was like, wow, that seems amazing, but also, is that too niche? And then I realized that I totally bought, created, I was, what's the word? Influenced to totally change my skincare routine based on a social media account.
No.
Yes, friend. Yes. And I spent like, I mean, not like a lot. It is a lot of money, but not like it's, I'm not buying like high-end stuff. I'm buying literally the drugstore dupes, but that's not cheap to upend your whole skincare routine. And again, in my, there's always like a justification, right? It's like, I've really been struggling with like hormonal stuff on my chin. I hesitate to call it acne, but you know what I mean? Like, I'm too old for this. Why is this, why is this an issue? Why am I having this problem at 41 years old? So anyway, I'm like doing my research on social media. This friend of ours, you might be here, Elizabeth, I don't really know. Thank you. Is it Anique? Anik? What an amazing name. Okay. So I find this gal, mutual friend. She's like, oh, I was reading about all this thing, and this girl has this highlights with like all these pore clogging ingredients. And I'm like, I've got to change all my makeup. I've got it. It is Elizabeth. Yeah. I've got to change all my makeup. I've got to change all of my skincare. And I'm like, would I have bought all of that if this influencer, not in a yucky way, but this person like didn't share all of this research and like have an entire account dedicated to talking about like acne, skincare. And of course she's like pushing products. So I did buy like a couple of like more expensive products, you know, as like an investment. And then I'm like, literally every time on social media, I want to buy something.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, you guys, can you think about it? Because I don't actually think it's just me.
No, we're definitely targeted.
Yes.
But I think, yeah, I just know that when I start getting into like this, like overconsumption of things, yeah, or even just like a desire, my desire is like very heightened to want more something else. And
yes,
it doesn't necessarily mean it's like something selfish. It could be something that is going to help you. It could be like, for me, it's like home decor and I want like,
totally,
you know, whatever it is. I get into this, like, I start realizing that like, there's nothing that's satisfying me enough. And I'm just like, Lord, where is this coming from? And then what do I need to do about it? So I think we're all guilty of it. I think that's why we're all tuning in, is that we have this idea of, I mean, it could be like self-care to take care of yourself and to get things for yourself. It could, yeah, also be like a reward for working hard. It could be needs that are actual needs, or it could just be something else. And that's, I think, where we fall into, maybe when we start justifying things a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, I mean, as with everything, there's a balance. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, there's a pain point. And like for me, it was my skin is a pain point. Steph, for you, maybe it's like I'm spending a lot of time at home and I'm like not feeling relaxed here, but maybe it's the decor if I, mm-hmm, change. It's interesting to see, mm-hmm, you guys share.
I
for
like me, it.
It's stuff for my kids. Like,
yeah.
This is very, very helpful. Yeah. Like, it's just good for us to say out loud, mm-hmm, this thing that I think for many of us, we're dealing with and kind of under the spell of all day, every day, but it's kind of hidden in plain sight. Like we're not really wrestling. Most people are not really wrestling with like, wow, I'm kind of materialistic, or I'm consuming a lot, or wow, my targeted ads are causing me to spend needlessly, you know?
Yeah. I'm also like a gifter. Like you tease me about this, but I love like finding things to gift people.
Yeah.
But then my husband's like, you don't need to always be like looking to buy something for someone. And I'm like, that's very true. So I think it also comes with like, it literally can come from like a really sweet place.
Totally.
Liliana.
Again, I mean, like me, there is a pain point. There is a justification, yeah, whether that's like for good or like trying to help, but it can just get out of hand.
Yeah.
Ultimately, social media and our like culture capitalizes on that.
Totally.
They like know our weaknesses.
Yeah. You know what's crazy?
What?
Influencers get paid so much money to push products that they get for free.
Yeah.
And here we are drinking the Kool-Aid. You know?
Conspiracy theorists.
Guys,
Steph.
they're on us.
So
okay,
true.
Liliana says, my husband and I are struggling with Lent this year. I just found out I'm pregnant. Congratulations.
Wow.
So fasting is out of the question for me,
yeah,
but we still haven't figured out what to give up. I've been praying more, but it's not enough. Please pray for us.
Liliana, just ask Jesus what he wants you, mm-hmm, to do. My experience of Lent is like, there's what I think I need to do, and then there's what God has for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe it's not giving something up this year. Maybe it's doing a little something else, taking up something.
Yeah. It can be unexpected. I think be careful of like the mindset that it should be hard. A sacrifice like from God's perspective is often different than a sacrifice from a human perspective.
Yeah.
You know? For example, I shared this video on YouTube about how to discern what to give up for Lent, what to do for Lent. And the only reason I'll share this is because he commented publicly, but a priest friend of ours watched that video, prayed in the video, and then said, when I asked God what I should do for Lent, he told me, I think he said like dot, 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 to shoot hoops every day. And I texted him. I'm like, are you joking? I was like crying. He asked you to play basketball, like shoot hoops every day? And he was like, yeah, I was really surprised. But the sacrifice is like taking time out to do something for the pleasure of it,
yeah,
with God.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's actually a sacrifice of resting. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
A sacrifice of joy, a sacrifice of praise. It's not like a hair shirt. Do you know what I mean? And like, well, I don't know, maybe God would ask you to do that. He's never asked me to do that, so I don't know. Yeah. But like, Steph, he asked you for a sacrifice. Stop praying for other people and tell me about you. And that is a sacrifice for you.
It really is.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just like, it's really different than what we think.
Yeah, but it's totally what we need.
Yeah.
QVC.
QVC is.
Over-consuming parenting info. And although it's good, it's too much. And then I don't trust my own intuition.
This is it. It's not only buying. Yeah. It's like a, it's a.
What are we consuming?
Oh, it's like such a, what's the word?
What are we absorbing?
Hunger. Okay. It's like a drive for more. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm gonna credit Megan Helmstead here. She shared this with me, that the original temptation in the garden was to know more, to reach for more information, mm-hmm. like apart from what God had said, like, I want to know. And that she connected that, like, that's ultimately what social media is for me. Mm-hmm. It's this desire to be all knowing, to like have all the information, see all of the things going on with all of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I need it or do I want it? And then there's the, I deserve it.
Okay. Sure.
That's me too. I actually unfollowed a lot of mom blogs or TikTokers, etc., because I started to get anxiety that I wasn't doing a good job as a mom. Wow. I def stopped listening to my own intuition as a mom. Yeah, like the Lord is going to give you grace to be a mom to your kids.
Yeah.
Like no one on social media can teach you how to parent your kids the mm-hmm. way the Holy Spirit can, mm-hmm. you know? And that's like freeing
that's
almost.
That's so good.
That's Let's see.
So good.
I miss the days where I feel like we didn't have to keep up with the trends or feel like we need what everyone has.
Yeah.
Social media definitely makes it hard. I deleted Instagram because of that, and it was just too much for me and can be so inappropriate. Even when I clicked not interested, it was just exhausted.
Okay, read Noelle, because Noelle, you're right.
Noelle, it's very true.
It's true. That's
I swear not, my phone not. Listens to me.
Yes.
I say I need something, and then I get all these ads for that thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think early on, I was like, well, that's helpful. And now I'm like,
stop listening to me.
I hate this.
Have you seen those videos of like reels? Have you guys seen these? Of like wives passing by like their husband's phone and saying like a new pressure cooker.
Or like, I have seen that.
They're so fun. But it's like true. It is targeted. I bought my husband something for Valentine's Day. Because we had talked about it and I was starting to get ads for it. And I'm like, fine.
No way.
Yeah.
They do. They break you down.
They get you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
The algorithms are algorithming.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't even have to follow influencers. It's just like everywhere. Let's see.
Patricia, me too.
It says, Yesenia, you are not alone. I'm trying to discern if I should be done with all of it. And I work with babies, and I'm trained birth through three Montessori.
Wow.
And still second guess myself.
Wow.
A lot of people are giving up social media because of the same reasons. It drags you away from God.
Yeah.
And shopping online on things that you don't need.
Yes.
Yeah. There's times where I'm just really bad at it, so I know that, like, it's time to delete Target and Amazon and Nike and, like, all of these apps that I have that even my ShopPay app, like, don't show me the deals, you know?
Yeah. Do you know what I stopped doing? Why I, for a time, gave up Target. I occasionally still go to Target. Mm-hmm. But for a time, I just, like, gave up Target. And I realized I spend a lot of money going in Target.
Yes.
If I go in to just do something.
That's it.
You know, it is there's a whole industry of, like, marketing and, you know, the way they
design the color red.
What are you saying?
The color red heightens your awareness. It does. It's like color theory.
I believe you.
Yeah. That's why McDonald's is red and yellow also. Fun fact. But like the color red causes you to have like an alertness.
This is how I feel when I walk into Target.
So that's why you're always drawn. It's the first color our eyes are actually drawn to.
That's so true. Yeah. Babies. Mm-hmm. Right? Or is it black and white?
Black and white for
babies. I think it's red too.
Yeah, probably.
That's insane. I just realized, like, I would come home with all this stuff and be like, I once saw a reel, as we're talking about social media, I once saw a reel that said, when you're walking through Target and you see they have home decor set up in a particular way mm-hmm. to, like, make you want to create this space that they've designed, right? Mm-hmm. She said, I take whatever that thing is to the trash can aisle. and I put it next to a trash can. Like, because this is, there's utility in our homes. Mm-hmm. Like, does this actually match? Is this actually beautiful? And does it bring me joy? And does it fit with the trash can? And I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. I will say, though, there are times where, like, visually it helps to, like, I bought a shower curtain from my main bathroom mm-hmm. that is white. It's all white.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, like, freshen up the space because I've had like a black and white shower curtain in there for so long. And so like buying these things, it doesn't make you a horrible person.
Yeah,
like, there is some value to like these decisions you make. Now, am I going and like remodeling my whole house?
Yeah. No,
that's probably not wise. But like these things that we spend on, it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be completely detached and not walk into a store. I wouldn't have bought it. I wouldn't have ordered it online. It's because I saw it and I'm like, sure. I just need to do something different with
listen,
my bathroom.
Listen, it's all like both and. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I think we're just trying to acknowledge this is a thing.
It is
you
a thing.
You know what I mean? I actually want to go up. There was a comment here that I just thought was so good. Patricia said, it is FOMO and it is not needed.
Oh my gosh.
I think
oh
that's gosh, especially gosh. True. I just, my heart breaks for like Gen Z.
Yes.
Because like TikTok, all of these trends are just like suffocating mm-hmm. to them. They're seeing these accounts and TikToks and for millennials, reels, you know, later once it comes over from TikTok to Instagram. And you're like, wait, are we doing this?
Yeah,
now?
Yeah.
This is,
are we doing this? Loose pants now?
Okay, I honestly have a jean jacket and I saw a picture of myself and I'm like, that jean jacket looks weird. And it's because I've been programmed mm-hmm. to think that jean jackets are only now supposed to be oversized.
Yeah. I actually wore this one and I'm like, it's not my oversized one.
This is it. I'm like, why am I like, I am 41 years old. I can wear a jean jacket that fits my body. I do not need an oversized jean jacket.
Yeah, I have.
I'm like, it looks weird.
High school nieces and nephews. And so like, are they just judging me?
Totally they are.
Totally. Because I'm wearing right now.
But it's only because they're a product of their environment the same way I'm a product of mine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do. So, like, it's. I think it's a grace when we realize, like, we're starting to get attached. We're starting to 100%. Kind of fall into this dark hole, like, of consuming more and more and more and wanting to be satisfied by things or content or whatever. Can I share with you something that I've been doing for like these past 3 or 4 months? I am very prone to being attached to things, particularly wardrobe and shoes. Like I have lots of shoes.
You have great style.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, but it's to the point where like laundry is unbearable because I just have so much clothes. It's like, I also have like a collection of cups. Any cup people that you just have too many cups.
I feel like every woman is a cup person.
You know? And so, and I end up using up more cups instead of washing a cup,
then you
putting
just
it
have
away.
To do the dishes.
And then it's a whole pile. So same thing with my laundry. So for like these last four months, maybe five, this started because I was living in an apartment. It was a 2-bedroom apartment with my husband and two kids at that time. And I was just like, there's no space. So for Lent, I decided to just kind of, I don't know what word to use, but I decided to fill up a trash bag, like a big trash bag full of clothes and donate it.
You did a purge.
I did a purge, but like not just stuff that like I don't use anymore, like just stuff, like just get rid of stuff.
Wow.
Stuff that I probably wore last week. And I every month just fill up a trash bag.
You do this every month.
Yeah. And so it was really cool because this year, I don't know if you've all heard of those Buy Nothing groups in your area.
Sure.
I'm in a Buy Nothing group in my neighborhood. And so.
Community?
Anybody else call their neighborhood a community or is it just me?
No one calls their neighborhood their community.
Fine. It literally is called.
You know who calls it a community? Community? A politician.
The city.
Your community.
It's
literally your neighborhood.
Anyway, I posted, like, look at this stuff. Like, this is what I'm giving away. And someone who lives around the corner from me, she's like, I'm going to walk over and grab it. And so she came and picked it up, and wow. I felt so, and then I did it, well, first I did it with my husband's clothes when he wasn't home, and I was like, he's fine. And so I ended up giving it to, like, her husband, and then I pull out the clothes again, and she's like, I'm interested. And so I had my clothes, and it just felt nice knowing, like, you know, sometimes that's you don't want to donate things to certain places because there's, like, a whole...
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. So it was nice to know that, like, someone in my community,
that is
in my
neighborhood, is going to have.
Yeah.
No, that is the proper use of the word community.
But it was hard. Like, it was, like, these dresses and these things that I wear.
Yeah.
But I just knew that, like, I think the Lord saw what I was doing. Mm. He's like, okay, I get it. Like, you need me to help you detach from stuff. So it was like an exercise almost. Now am I completely, like, cured and, like, don't want things? No.
Right.
But, like, the Lord saw that this was a sacrifice and that I'm aware of it. And, like, I think he wants to bless that, you know?
That's so good.
Mm-hmm. I do it with my kids twice, too, when they're napping. It's great.
Listen, I want to share something, but it's pretty niche. So I don't know if I should share it.
Good.
So I live in a really small place. It's probably not even accurate to call it. Early on, I would call it, like, a mother-in-law suite. It's a little tiny detached house, but, like,
it's a casita.
Okay, sure. But it, like, doesn't have room. It's a studio, ultimately. It's a studio.
It is more roomy than you describe it.
This is what I'm saying. And I was very embarrassed about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm too old to live in a studio. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But over the years, I've really, like, I love it. It's very, I consecrated it to the Lord. I call it the Holy Family Hideaway. It's, like, very, it's this private, like, peaceful place for me. And I've made peace, like, throughout the years, prayed in lots of different ways, because there's been a pressure for me, like, oh, I'm so old. Like, I should be, why don't I have a house? Like, all my peers have multiple children and, like, a home, and, like, am I stunted as an adult? I'm just being honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, I need to, like, buy a house. I need to settle down. I need to get serious, as though me renting and having a studio makes me somehow, like, sub adult human, gotcha. You know? Mm-hmm. And the other day I was just thinking about, like, I don't really want to move. Like, I love my little place, you know? And I heard the Lord say to me, buying a house would be giving up hope. Like, what I love about my little place is that it makes me ready. It keeps me ready at all times to, like, go and do the Father's will. Mm-hmm. Like, I could get up and move. I could get married. And, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm not, I'm less attached, but I love my space. And I was sharing this with a friend, and she said to me, Beth, you don't know how good you have it. She said,
that's what I was thinking.
She said, you are living the gospel. Mm-hmm. You are living this simplicity and detachment. And it's true, not because I chose that, but by virtue of the space that I live in. I cannot accumulate a bunch of stuff. I have to always be purging stuff, because otherwise it's encroaching to have so much stuff.
Okay. And I think this goes into what I wanted to say next. You have taken what you have, and you have taken care of it. So, like, your place is cute. It's, like, the decor is cute. The vibe is there. Like, I like all of it. And I've thought of, like, I really want a chair like Beth's. You know, like, I've thought these things. So, like, what we are entrusted to, we are called to be good stewards of that and not look at it as, like, this isn't enough.
Yeah.
Or I hope this is just temporary, but using what the Lord has given us now, being good stewards of it, taking care of it, being proud of it. It takes work, I think, because it is hard sometimes to look at what we have and say, like, this isn't what I thought I was going to have for myself at this time, or this isn't what I wanted, or I'm ready for more. Like, I'm doing my part. And the Lord's like, I'm just trying to bless you right now with what I'm giving you right now. So I think it's also, we're also called to be good stewards with what we are entrusted to in this moment.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was just in my room for a moment. My that's with the Lord. I had something and then he got all up in my face and now I'm like, just want to faint.
No,
I know. He's very sweet.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a pass for me. It was to watch movies. It's hard for me to sit down and relax, so I watch religious and spiritual movies. Now we watch one every Friday and Lent after praying the Stations of the Cross. And my mom, who is across the country now, joins us on video chat.
Are you? Guys, why are you guys so sweet?
So see, we use these things that we enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just a using it in a responsible way.
A right ordered way.
Yeah.
I think here we are. Thanks, Lord. What you were sharing for me, like if we look at this like desire, okay, this it's like a need. Mm-hmm. Like I need a cuter place. I need a new skincare routine. I need new clothes. Like, and like, I notice I'll go to Amazon or to like a dress like website. And I'm just scrolling. And I'll ask myself, like, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Which is so the words of the gospel.
What are you looking for?
I'm not even trying to like Jesus juke you. I'm just saying like, Jesus asked that question for a reason, because we are always looking for something. We're looking for something that could be mine, that will make me feel like myself. You know what I mean? But we are his, like, and he is ours. Like, we have what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, for a time when I was like noticing this consumerism was kind of an ugly beast in my life, I would just say to him, like, I have everything I need. Mm-hmm. I have everything I need, and just like try to breathe through it. I know that maybe sounds intense, you know, but we can so subconsciously just like scroll, zoom, click, buy packages, yay, endorphins, do it all over again, you know?
When
it's
you
just me or no?
When you get a package and you forget what you were waiting for, that's bad. You know, that was me for a while. I'm like,
what
did I order this week? What was it?
I just notice a lot of that is me like trying to comfort myself. What, like, ooh, a little treat. Ooh, little something, you know?
Yeah.
But like, what's going on underneath
that
I'm feeling like I need a reprieve. I need a treat from this. Like, it's the same with like even stopping by coffee in the afternoon. Like, oh, I like deserve a treat after I did that thing. Do I? What?
Me.
Why?
Yeah.
Just like, I'm not shaming myself, and I'm certainly not shaming any of you, but like, I just noticed that in me, like, what am I looking for? You know,
I love that. I think that's a great question to ask ourselves when we get into this temptation. And I think it was very time appropriate for us to talk about this, especially right now during Lent, because this is a season where this can be practiced so that it becomes routine. It becomes normal for us. It becomes comfortable for us. So it's hard. And like, I think it's even scary to only rely on the Lord's provision, you know, like it's like a scary thing to say, I'm actually going to trust that you're going to take care of me and give me everything I need.
Okay. Steph, what you're saying, I think is the end goal. Like, this is the reality. This is the truth that we aspire to believe and live from. But what you described about every Lent giving away a trash bag full of stuff that you even like and use, that is the way to get there, is to practice that detachment. Olivia, you mentioned the CFRs and how on the Poco a Poco podcast, they talk about a poverty check. And I think we can all do that. Like, how, like, what, where's our excess? Where do we have so much stuff, you know? So I think regularly doing a poverty check, I feel like it's in Father Mark Mary's book. He outlines it.
Ooh.
I'm going to look.
The Born of Fire one?
No, okay. No.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Intentionality is everything. My grandma, aunts, and mom were queens of window shopping. They didn't buy a ton, though.
Wow.
It was also a bonding time for them. So I learned to browse. And for example, with home decor, I'm super intentional. I will look around a lot before I decide what to buy. It helps. I know I'm going to keep it for years, too. I also try my hardest not to be swayed with trendy things that will feel outdated in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learning to browse is very interesting.
This has helped me.
Okay.
I've done this. I've added to cart and not checked out right away. And it's going to sit on my cart for a couple days. Yeah. And then I'm going to say, or even just like comparing when you are doing like a nicer purchase of like, because it also is responsible or can be responsible to spend a little bit more money on something that's going to be durable rather than 100%. Buying something that you're just going to have to keep replacing and replacing,
100%.
You know, or that's trendy and it's going to go out of style.
So many things. Okay, this is crazy, but if you've heard of Jordan Peterson, he offers what's called a self-authoring course. And it's something I've been working my way through. It's basically where you imagine like a future you, you look at your past, and then you look at like your virtues and your vice, like your faults in the present. And then it gives you these writing exercises to process those things. And I will tell you, Steph, it has been more transformative for me than therapy in some ways.
Wow.
Particularly around things like procrastination, because I like list that as a fault. And then he has you describe a situation, not in general how you procrastinate, a specific situation where you procrastinated, how you could have done that differently, and then generally how you can avoid doing that in the future. What did you learn from how you could have done it differently and apply it? And there's something to writing it out and coming up with a solution yourself that you're just more likely to do it. You know what I mean? And one of my faults was spend frivolously. And what I got, the bottom level for me was there's like an urgency attached.
Yeah.
It's like, I have to have this. Like, where does that pressure come from? That there's just this urgency. And so similarly, I've been like, I need to wait. Yeah. Like it's an emotional response. Why does buying something feel so urgent at times? You know? Yeah.
What is the urgency? I was thinking about that. I've spent money on like a cute lunch bag. Does not pack lunch.
I thought you were going to say.
So today, this morning, I told myself, you're going to fast until you get home and then you will eat. Because if I'm not, I didn't wake up early enough. I'm just very tired from the weekend. I'm sorry, Beth. I am not spending money on lunch today. I'm going to fast until I get home and then I will have a meal there because I didn't pack ahead of time. But like even spending, I'm adding up how much I'm spending throughout the day.
100%.
And I'm like, whoa, like I wouldn't let my kids spend that much money on themselves every day.
But
you know,
here's the thing. Like, there's a reason we're doing this.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think we can put up, this is sin. This is ultimately sin.
I was going to say, when you're like, what is it? I was going to say, the fall?
No, listen, this is what I want to say to people. You're so worried about the sin. The sin is the symptom. Like, we have to get underneath it. There's a wound there. There's a belief there. There's a pain point there. And until we address that thing, we're going to keep just hacking away at the sin and feeling like a lot of shame and condemnation. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep putting into place all of these human, what's the word I'm looking for? Like solutions.
Okay. I was going to say tendons.
No, like we're going to keep putting like, no, I'm not going to fast. I'm going to until I learn to pack my lunch. But it's like, but there's something going on here. And maybe it's just the Lord being like, you're very tired.
I know what it is. I've asked him.
What?
I need to trust on his provision.
Wow.
That's it for everything.
Wow.
Even the desire to want stuff is my way of showing that I can control receiving or getting the things that I need or want.
Yeah.
When in reality, like in like the bigger scope of my life, like, do I really trust that he's going, that I'm going to share enough about what I need, you know, in my prayer time?
Yeah.
I believe he can move mountains for like my friends and my loved ones that I'm praying for. Like I have the utmost hope for them and for the things that they've asked me to pray for.
Yeah.
But like when it comes to me, am I giving him that same hope? Like, do I have that hope where I'm giving him those desires and those needs for me? Or do I not believe as much for his provision in my life than in theirs?
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I'm working with him.
Okay. Can we go back quickly to the browse idea and the shopping? I read a book by John Mark Comer, excellent book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in it, he speaks about Sabbath. And so this is just like one point among a broader conversation. It's not actually about consumerism, although he does talk about that, how consumerism is actually a reason that we don't Sabbath, that we're in a rush, the urgency, right? The tyranny of the urgent. And he said that in the United States, shopping has become a hobby.
Yeah.
Like buying is something we do. Whereas people used to like go to the park and have a picnic or go for a hike or a walk, mostly like outdoor things, things that are really refreshing. What has replaced that is buying. And I've noticed that, like, when I like have time or I want to go do something for myself, it's like, I'll go walk around Target. Shopping is not a hobby. Shopping is not refreshing. Do you know what I mean?
It's not refreshing.
Yeah.
Shopper's guilt is a real thing too.
For sure. Oh, Megan, what are you saying?
Ooh, I make myself wait at least 48 hours. I try to ask myself about the underlying desire.
That's good.
That I think this thing will satisfy, because the desire itself is good, just distorted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep asking myself, like, what am I looking for?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. That's very, very good.
The lie or belief that I'm not enough or won't have what I need unless I do or I have blank. Yeah.
I just wonder if, like, when you become aware of that, if, like, we can just kind of turn to the Lord and be like, whoa, do I believe? I'll give you an example for myself. Like, what if I were to pray through this skincare thing and say to the Lord, do I believe that I'm not beautiful? Like, if my skin has blemishes, why am I so embarrassed when my skin has blemishes? You know, why am I so discouraged by that? And not to say, like, that we shouldn't care for, like, our diet or, like, hormones, you know, or, like, have products that agree with the ecosystem of our, like, skin and our body. Like, that's not bad, but there is a deeper thing going on there.
For sure.
Yeah.
Always deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I've also realized that a lot of my online shopping, even window shopping, is an anxiety response to escape some discomfort.
First of all, that is the realest.
Beth, someone asked me about my desire to buy certain things and whether I thought the things, products, were going to fix me in order to make myself more lovable. So that question, what am I looking for, is so true.
Someone asked you, Andrea?
Paula said, it is also soothing. When my mom passed, I would walk around a huge box store near me.
Yeah, it's something to do. It's a distraction for sure.
Amelia says, in the U.S. there are a few places to go where you don't have to spend money. In other countries, loitering is not a thing.
In the U.S., a few places. I do feel like, yeah, like when I was in Ireland and I would, like, walk around, people are just walking around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You're just walking around the shops. The tourists are the ones buying stuff. Me. Like, I'm getting a little coffee. I'm, like, browsing a bookshop, but other people are, like, either running errands or just, like, enjoying the day.
But when I go run errands, I'm like, I need to go get myself a coffee for this experience.
100%
by myself, you know.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you grab a salad on the way home.
Yeah. Erin, it's so interesting you talked about makeup. Wow, my daughter told me I was more beautiful without it. Jenna, actually, the podcast that comes out tomorrow, I think Jenna talks about makeup in the very beginning, and it's been kind of haunting me, actually, ever since we had that conversation.
No way.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, check that out tomorrow.
It's so crazy. Makeup is crazy.
Yes. They loiter in other countries. In Europe, they loiter as a hobby. Yeah. They just, like, are out and about, just like, but there are more central social places. There are, like, town squares and big parks.
It's also hot here.
So true. So true. I was in Helsinki and I was like, what are we going to do? And she's like, oh, I just thought we would walk down to this. We're in, like, this green belt, essentially. But there are hundreds of people just, like, out, like, eating, like, little snacks that they brought, or just talking, or, like, just, like, literally laying out in the sun, but not sunbathing. Like, not like we're, you know, like, even when I go to the beach or something, I'm going. There's just this American, like, drivenness about us. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going up. I went up north this past weekend with my husband and my kids. And I was like, do I need any, like, bag to pack all of our stuff? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I don't. We have plenty.
You know what? I'm kind of feeling like, honestly, maybe it's just me. Maybe this will resonate with you. But, like, I just want the Lord to teach me about leisure.
Mm.
You know, like, just being okay. Just chilling. Shannon, this loitering, I love how you put it in quotes, seems so unproductive to me. ... We're almost brainwashed.
Totally.
We totally are
this
brainwashed.
This is what Jesus told me yesterday.
He said, leisure.
I'm going to give you something you don't give yourself. I'm going to give you something to just sit down, Don't yes. do anything. Stop trying to capitalize on every second. Like, yes. just sit here with me.
Yes. This priest friend of mine, he got it from a mentor, I think. And then I read something similar in Essentialism by Greg McKeown. They talk about like thinking time, that we just don't have any margin. We don't have any space in our schedule. And so this priest friend, he literally showed me his calendar one day. And it was like 2 to 4 p.m. thinking time. And I was like, what is that? That's amazing. Wow. And I realized how much I need thinking time. Mm-hmm. But even like when I'm on a plane, I have all these plans to do things, to get work done. But I just spend a lot of that time thinking. But in my mind, I have had to categorize it thinking time mm-hmm. to make the excuse for not doing something. Mm-hmm. I've had to make even just like being alive into a task that I accomplished.
Interesting.
Do you know what I mean? Lexi, thank you.
I look at it as a tree. Like I deserve to sit down and do nothing.
Yeah, but like.
But it's so hard when I actually yeah. sit down and do nothing.
Yeah.
That it takes my brain like at least 5 minutes to stop thinking yeah. about other things I could be thinking about right now. Answering things in my head.
Yeah.
Thinking about a plan for dinner. Thinking about this or that.
So true. The other day, I had a pretty long day. I think I had the well, which is a lot of, for me, I just try to be so present in that. And just emotionally and spiritually, there's an attentiveness there that I'm like pretty tired after, in addition to all the other things. And I went and I got lunch and I was talking to Megan, actually. I dragged a chair, Steph, mm-hmm. into this little gravel curb that we have in front of the warehouse, which is like, it's not beautiful out there. It's just, we're in an industrial park. This is a warehouse, you know? And I sat down and I like pulled my dress up a little bit to like show my knees. And I like pulled my dress mm-hmm. down and I just like sat in the sun for like 5 minutes. And it's so interesting. I have thought about that. Mm-hmm. A number of times, like I've gone back to, wow, that was actually like very mm-hmm. relaxing. That was like a moment of real presence mm-hmm. for me. And I was doing nothing. I wasn't even thinking. Wow. I was literally just sitting in the sun, you know, mm-hmm. I was outside breathing air. Yes. Lexi says, watching my kids play is the Lord teaching me leisure. They have nothing planned. Yes, Jess. It's like a constant need to fill voids, purchases, rewards, tangible affirmations, mm-hmm. hustle, busyness, accomplishment. It is all connected.
It's, yeah.
You guys, I feel like we're really in this together.
Yeah.
This is very good.
It's very good. And it's a great reminder to just like dare to ask the Lord to satisfy us, you know, mm-hmm. and to satisfy the voids that we try to fill. He will. And then here's the thing, like, he won't just satisfy, he has like an abundance yeah. for us if we just give him the space. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he'll just like band-aid those voids. Like, he'll just give us the best thing that we could even imagine, or maybe we don't even imagine it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of us getting out of our own way.
Yeah. Guys, I just want to, I mean, I'm trying to think, I want to hear your takeaway. I want to like have one thing. And I don't really feel like I'm driving about that, but I, you know, I don't, part of me just wants to invite you to like, go sit in the sun for 5 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. just want to give you permission to like leisure. Maybe that's different for you, but even 5 minutes, you know, can be so refreshing, so rejuvenating, so orienting, you know?
Beth, I feel like the Holy Spirit's just like elbowing me.
What
this morning I went to drop off the kids and I chose to park not where all the cars park, and I chose to leave my phone in there, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Wow, why are we parking good. So far away? And so we literally just walked on the campus, walked like by the church, and we're just walking to class. I dropped each of them off and I walked back and I wasn't on my phone.
Yeah.
And I just had
like, and you didn't check in it. You didn't like the desire to like, am I missing something? Do I need to check something?
And I'm like, that was really weird that I chose to park away from like what's comfortable is parking right there and just crossing the crosswalk and getting to their school. But like I chose to park further away and leave my phone in the car and just have that moment. But now it's like the Holy Spirit's like, you needed that breather.
I honestly feel like I want to start crying. Do you know what I mean? Like the thought of like just giving ourselves space and time, particularly outside, away from our phones, like this like shackle of our phones that makes us feel like we've got to be in touch. We've got to be available. We need to be answering to someone or doing something. Like my soul, I can just feel my soul like I, please, you know. Steph, would you close us in prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit. Just remove any excess, Lord. Those things that we hold on to for comfort or security or to even hide behind. Allow us to make more space for you. To be brave enough to trust in you and your provision. To hear your voice rather than the pressures of this world. To be okay entering into our inner room with you. To being in that space with you in your presence. Will you just make time in our lives, Lord, to just sit with you so that you can tell us what we need and what we don't need? So you can speak truth over our lives and our hearts. Pray for detachment, Lord. Just total surrender to these things. And for an increase in trust in you, that you will provide, that you will equip us to take care of and tend the things that you've made us responsible for, Lord. We thank you for the blessing in our lives, even when we look over them or we don't see them for the blessing they are, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you've already given us and will continue to give us, Lord. Help us to be good stewards of these things. Help us to never be unimpressed by you. We give you all the glory and praise, Lord. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Beth. I just want to lay down.
Oh.
Okay, love you guys so much. Let's keep talking about it in the comments.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I love
also,
a good thread.
It's so
recap.
Cold in here. I need to go stand outside. So, God bless you.
Bye, friends.
See you later. Love you.
See ya.